You know, okay. it's very complicated.
Yes.
And so people don't understand it, so they turn off to trying to learn about it. And so we're trying to come up with those use cases where people understand the fundamentals, where they don't have to understand the tech, but they understand what's, you know, that it just sits behind, but this right. is how it either enables or empowers you to live better, purchase better, transact better.
Welcome to Boston Blockchain, where we focus on the people and projects that are driving innovation in the industry. I'm Kyle Hedman of China Shop Productions, and today's guest is Ian Kane, Quincy City Council President and co-founder of Cubic Labs. In this episode, Ian discusses the vibrant community surrounding blockchain technology in Quincy, Massachusetts, and the efforts of Cubic Labs to foster innovation and collaboration. We explore the intersection of politics and blockchain as Ian shares insights from his recent Senate bid. Check out the show notes to learn more about Cubic Labs. Now let's meet Ian.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for taking some time out of your really busy schedule. I've seen you running around all week. I don't think anyone's been as busy as you this week.
My pleasure. Yeah. No, I think that I'm just the face on the stage. We've got people that have worked very hard to put this event together, like John and Manuel and Garrett, Harry, and other people who volunteered who we're so grateful to have. So
it's been a really impressive event. This is our first time attending. And thank you for inviting us, first of all. But it's been really impressive to see the type of community that you guys have been building. It's been extremely open. Everyone has been just all willing to collaborate and share, and they want to see you succeed, and they want to tell you about their projects, and they want to hear about yours, and they want to see if there's ways to work together. It's just an amazing
scene. I appreciate that. We you know, it's been a very organic grassroots construction. So yeah. You know, we had this idea and a vision to connect Boston Blockchain Week and the ecosystem that we've been building through Cubic Labs, mm-hmm. and to make sure that we're helping to make those continued connections through the ecosystem in the greater Boston area, and to help facilitate growth and to sustain the space, you know, blockchain and digital assets.
Yeah, yeah. And you grew up in Quincy, right?
So I did. Yep, I'm a local.
I love seeing that. I love seeing when the city council is made up of the locals of the town that have like the history and the ties.
Sure.
And your father was a politician as well too, right?
Yeah, he did. He made some attempts to run for office. He ran for the seat that I eventually won 3 times and lost. Mm-hmm. And he did try to run for state senate once as well.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I had always wanted to go into public service since I was a kid.
I saw at 7, you had dreams of being a president.
Oh, geez, you did your research.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and I never knew that my dad had interest in running for office, and so when he did, it was very interesting and enlightening to me.
Oh, so that was completely independent of your father's aspirations.
Absolutely, yeah, very separate.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you learn from that?
From mine running or my father's running?
From your father's.
Running? Well, one, I admire my father because he tries. He does.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And he's fearless in those efforts. So
easy to stand up and complain.
Oh, exactly.
So much harder to
exactly.
propose solutions.
And he is a person that certainly common sense, can do attitude. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my father was the first black person to run for anything in Quincy.
Really?
Yeah. And I think that was a big deal. He wasn't from Quincy. My mother was from Quincy. She was kind of leveraging that history.
Right.
But, you know, I learned that politics is tough. I mean, I think that especially in the local level, you're running the race kind of like a single shingle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're basically your own team, and it's not
right,
like you're
yeah.
building a whole team around you that you can rely on. And that actually conveys to a Senate race, which we can talk about. But yeah, I mean, I learned that it's tough. I learned that it's tough putting yourself out there to be vulnerable. But I think I looked at his experience very different. It didn't jade, you know, whatever I wanted to do eventually.
Did it jade him?
I don't know if it jaded him, mm-hmm. but I know that it probably was disappointing to have, you know, so many losses as he did.
Yeah.
When he's trying to do the right thing. But eventually, I think, you know, he and my mother had a very interesting perspective on his running. I think the first time was like, okay, this is exciting. And then the second time was like, all right. And then the third time was like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, you know? So, you know, I think by that time she wasn't as invested as the first.
Mm-hmm.
So then it becomes, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
You know, are you doing this for the right reasons, or is this to fulfill some sort of ego?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I didn't get that impression looking through his history.
No, I mean, you look at it differently when you're grow up with people and,
yeah.
from the outside, but yeah, who knows?
Mm-hmm. So how did blockchain come into the picture then? Like, how did you get first interested in the technology?
Yeah, so first comes Cubic.
Mm-hmm.
John and I had sort of taken a look around and saw an opportunity to create a space in an area that didn't really have entrepreneurship and innovation being supported.
Right.
So we partnered with a local real estate developer in Quincy and basically had the opportunity to create that space from a blank canvas. So we decided to focus broadly on financial and government technology at first, just based on our personal and professional backgrounds. And then it was soon thereafter, because I'm also a city councilor in Quincy, and there was a education series that was led by a quasi-state organization called Massachusetts Technology Collaborative that was educating elected leaders, local leaders, on potential blockchain deployments in cities and towns.
Yeah. Yes.
And that was when I saw the opportunity to support the space, because I saw that it was a little fragmented in the greater Boston area. Nobody was really creating an incubator or an accelerator to support blockchain and digital asset companies. And so we started just getting to know the ecosystem. We started a startup competition in 2021, and that led to the beginning of a public-private partnership that we put together that sort of catapulted Cubic's next level growth, which we've been running on for the last year and a half, which was, you know, we built a research and development and commercialization program to support startups. So, you know, it starts with that education program and then just seeing an opportunity to run the path. And here we are.
And it feels like the momentum is just starting to build too.
Yeah. And it's been, as I said, it's been slow and organic, but it's been good. I prefer it that way.
Organic growth is sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not in any rush. We see the opportunities, we see the limitations, and we saw the exuberance. I mean, there was plenty of people getting so hyped up about this space. And, you know, we weren't interested in getting involved in the sort of speculative crypto token, you know, trading aspect of the business. But we saw opportunity to, you know, implement and use an emerging technology in many different industries and even in government. So, you know, our whole value proposition and thesis was that, okay, we can take this tech, market it to a group of people, we'll support them, we will try to create sort of an economic cluster around this tech in Quincy to support its economic growth.
Right.
Quincy's been going through its own growth over the past, you know, 10 years plus. We've seen changes in this downtown area that we sit in right now. A lot of residential and sort of apartment complexes have been coming out of the ground. And so this has been a great effort to complement that with, you know, commercial and startup activity. And, you know, it's been, as you know, as we've discussed, it's going well.
Through the other program that we host, the Band of Traders, one of the listeners we have actually found us through some of the collaborations we did with Eric Mason.
Oh, and that's great.
He has been very vocal about how great the leadership has been in Quincy for the last 10 years. He says, if you look at what the area was like, you know, before Mayor Tom Koch and you guys took ownership of it, was just not going anywhere good. And
yeah, I mean, there have been fits and starts with sort of this central, you know, business district redevelopment, but it's really kicked into gear. And the year that I joined the council was 2016, and it really started moving forward that year. So it's been a privilege to, you know, have a front row seat at all the action.
Yeah. So one of the really cool things that the city has done was the first municipal bond issuance back in April, which we got to cover. Shameless self-plug there. But how involved were you with that project?
So I was not involved in that project. I mean, it was managed by one of Cubic's member companies in collaboration with the city and in that partnership. But I wasn't personally involved in that project. But I watched it with great interest because it's groundbreaking, as you guys very well know. I mean, a first of a kind, first in the nation, municipal bond offering on blockchain, which is precedent setting.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, I've been waiting with bated breath for the next one. I think the next one's going to be the most exciting because that.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of worry, like, first, is there going to be more?
Right, right.
But there's got to be. I mean, there's just too many benefits for what the city has realized, even with just the accounting side of things or the obligation side of paying the coupons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, again, that project took a little while to get off the ground, and as do most projects within government or with government. But I mean, Quincy has been, if you look from the outside in or even from the inside out, the mayor, Tom Koch, has been very open to supporting innovation. So we've also, over the past 6 years, have been developing a municipal fiber optic network for the city.
Really?
Yeah. So I've led that development from the city council, from my public hat side. And the idea there was that I heard people constantly complaining about the incumbent cable service provider or internet service provider. Mm-hmm. And so I looked into some models and saw that there are municipalities that own their own fiber and they open up that fiber. Either they have a service offering of their own or they open up the fiber network for ISPs to rent space on and to offer competitive service to residents. So we're doing that model. So it's called an open access model. So we've been, it's a big infrastructure project. It'll be over $100 million, I'm sure, by the end of the project. But the idea is that we connect every home in the city to, gig symmetrical fiber and to drive that price down to, hopefully less than $50 a month.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. What other things do you envision Cubic Labs doing in the city? Like, how do you see this growing in the future?
Yeah. So I think it's nice we've got this sort of footprint here at Cubic. Our goal is to have our own physical space. Right now we have sponsored real estate, which we're grateful for. We have great partners in Fox Rock Properties who've been our supporters from the start. So having our own space would be great that we can, adequately determine how to grow into with our member companies. I think more companies growing, so starting with the incubator phase, but helping them grow into our space as well.
Right.
We continue with, I guess, let me go to the high level. So we've got, I think, five different parts of our organization. We've got this sort of core growth program, which is the incubator. We've got this R&D program. We have sort of future aspirations to have our own investment fund that would invest in any of the companies that go through our growth program the R&D program. So we call that capital and commercialization. We've got ecosystem and community, which includes Boston Blockchain Week. We hosted, of course, this startup showdown a couple of years ago, which we'd like to sort of rise again.
Yeah.
And then we have knowledge and education, which is an effort to help people to understand emerging technology in a non-offensive or in a non-scary way, right? I think most often with especially blockchain, people are like, they turn off or they say, no thanks.
It's a lot of bro culture in the vocal people, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's that aspect of it, but it's also esoteric. It's very complicated.
Yes.
And so people don't understand it, so they turn off to trying to learn about it. And so we're trying to come up with those use cases where people understand the fundamentals, where they don't have to understand the tech, but they understand what's, that it just sits behind, but this is how it either enables or empowers you to live better, perch better, transact better.
Can you give us an example of one?
Yeah, actually, the Municipal Bond Project is a great one.
Right.
Because that is something where you're connecting financial interest with civic participation. Mm-hmm. It aligns your, those interests at the city level, because you can look at a bond, and say, hey, we're going to put out a $10 million bond for roadway work, let's say.
Right.
And someone could say, I support roadway work, so I'm going to put in $50 or $100. And then you're entitled, of course, to that coupon payment. So the future applications of that are really interesting in that, you could apply it to a water bill or your tax bill or something like that. But it allows for economic generation. But just tying people at that local level with a lack of complication and access to that financial product that they really didn't have before is a great project. So they don't need to know how blockchain works. They just need to know that they can participate in a product that the city is offering.
One of the things that I learned from being a manager was that if you give your direct reports accountability or ownership of the projects that they're working on, they tend to do a lot better work. And that sounds like what you're kind of doing here. You're giving ownership of the city's projects to the actual constituents. So where now it becomes like part of theirs, like now they're vested in seeing this thing get done.
Yeah. I mean, money is essentially like a vote.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You spend your money is an expression of your interest of some sort. So you put your money where your mouth is.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you want to see that road get fixed, and maybe that's the one that you take to your commute every day. Like, yeah, maybe I want that done. Okay, give me a piece of that.
Right.
Now you feel good every time you drive on it.
Right.
Like, oh, that paid my water bill today.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
What are some of the cool projects that have come out of Cubic Labs? You guys have been incubating for a while now, so there should be...
We have. I mean, they run the gamut. We've had, some more social-oriented networks try to be built. We've had a couple of real estate plays come through. We've got a digital ID projects that have come through. We've got folks that are working on compliance and sort of anti-money laundering systems.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, they really are all over the place. We've got people. Did you see the pitch from the guys from Abyss yesterday?
I saw the Abyss one, and then I saw the other Eduardo's pitch too.
Oh yeah, Eduardo's not with us.
He was with Circular, I think, or he went to school with Ken Mooney. I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
Ken Mooney.
Circular's a cool one. That's another protocol, blockchain protocol. We've had some interesting smart contract use cases, especially around trust and estate planning.
Oh, that's, yeah, I did see that. Yeah. To automate that process,
yes.
Basically.
Yes.
Something like that would be hugely beneficial.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've had some cool ones, and there's still more to come. You know?
Right.
Even on the real estate side, we've been trying to figure out, because most of the real estate applications have tried to come from the market side.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to focus on the market side, you're not making any changes really. I mean, you could just bifurcate a LLC and it's sort of the same thing with ownership. But we're trying to work back to the source of truth at the government level so that you can actually facilitate those transactions from the place that of the original ownership.
So a lot of cool stuff going
on. Yeah. Again, these are slow projects too. So
hopefully you're going to be around for a while then.
Mm-hmm. We will be.
We hinted a little bit at the Senate race, and I think that I saw last week that you didn't get the nomination, unfortunately.
That's correct.
What were you planning if you had gotten the nomination?
So this was a U.S. Senate seat, so it's a statewide seat, and you know there was an opportunity to challenge a two-term incumbent whose name is Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Who
not a native of Massachusetts, by the way.
Not a native of Massachusetts, not a Native American either.
Can I leave that in?
Yeah. Yes, okay. Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you.
So, you know, this is a person that just is so out of touch with us, with people. You can't even fiend that she is interested in having conversations with regular people. You know, the issues that she focuses on are very broad in nature, playing to and placating to a national audience, raising her fist in the air and saying, fight, 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 but disconnected from the issues on the ground. And I think what sort of leads down the path of seeing what she's been doing to blockchain and digital asset space, she's been the number one opponent to the space in the U.S. Senate and in Congress.
If you hear most of the senators even talk about it, you're like, do you have any idea what you're talking about?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of them do. And I think she, I don't know what her agenda is, and I wouldn't claim to, but I just know that she has not been friendly to the space. And the space has said, we're looking to be regulated. You know, there are opportunities for, you know, we're not trying to be these cowboy crypto people in the Wild West and just, you know, no rules. We want rules. But she, you know, has been working against that. So, you know, I got hit with this intuition to chart a path and seek the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate Massachusetts. And it was a great project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I looked at it like another startup because it is aggregating capital. It is people, you know, and it's energy. And so, you know, I ran around the state for 6 months and met people at Republican town committee meetings and anywhere I could. I hosted coffee hours. We did Zoom hours and stuff like this. Any way that we could get our message out because it's very capital intensive.
Yeah.
So over 6 months, I raised probably $400,000 rather. Mm-hmm. And I had two opponents in the Republican primary. One of them had put $1 million into his own campaign, which sets you ahead.
Yeah.
It certainly allows you to build out a team faster and some infrastructure. And the other guy was a grassroots candidate as well. And I applaud him because he, you know, hustled to get a signature on the, you know, to get on the ballot. We need 10,000 signatures, certified signatures to get on the ballot in Massachusetts. And I, because I came in later, I didn't have an organized team to do it. I hired a team to do it, which cost me a lot of money.
So it's actually impressive how far you made it then, considering the late start that you had and the limited resources you were dealing with.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, did what I had to do. But, you know, it was a great experience. I met some wonderful people. I learned a lot. I've grown a lot personally. I think that I just, you know, went through, you know, what I call a very public job interview. And I think I did well. The votes, you know, didn't indicate that. And I think that I had two things primarily working against me, which were that I wasn't a vehement pro-Trump candidate.
Right.
And I, you know, didn't have, there was also an external, there was a $2 million super PAC that was supporting my other opponent.
I saw that, yeah.
And that, you know, $1 million went out to go put him on TV, radio, and a ton of mailers.
And
that gets the word out. So, you know, it was what it was. I look at it very honestly, right? It is what it is. I got smushed, and you know, but it's not the end. You know, I think there's a lot I gained from this process, and there's still somewhere to go. I don't know where that is. I don't know if that's elected or not, but you know, it was very humbling. I took 4 days off. I went down the Cape. I know this was just last Tuesday that was the primary. I took 4 days off, and then I came right back to work Monday. So I had city council meeting, and it was a heck of a meeting that we had. And then we started blockchain week on Tuesday. So it was like, right. You know, but it was nice. I'm fortunate because I didn't lose anything.
Right.
You know, my life goes on.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you also got all these amazing experiences to build on for the next time.
Correct.
And in fact, one of the VCs that we recently talked to, that's one of the things that he looks for in a startup. Have they failed? And have they actually dealt with that failure?
Oh, interesting.
So really that is the question. Like, what are you going to do with the lessons that you learned from this?
I mean, I've already planted some seeds, you know, of some of the most, you know, important issues that I recognized in the road. I'm a very solutions oriented person. So it's like, okay, here's a problem. Now let's figure out what the solution is.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did that. And I think that's a podcast for another time, but you know, we planted some seeds and we'll see how it grows.
Well, if they don't want you here in Boston, we'll take you in Illinois.
Thank you. Yeah, you guys got some stuff going on out there too.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's probably not a great sell, but so what's the plan for next year?
For a blockchain week?
Yeah.
I mean, so just to talk about our growth, I mean, the first year we had about 60 speakers, probably 150 or so people came. Last year we had 72 or so speakers, and I think we had about 250, 300 people come.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I think we had 100, we hit 100 speakers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was close to that.
Our registrations were about 500, and we'll see, you know, how many have come. We've had good attendance the past 3 days. And we'll see how today goes. But, you know, there's all these nice little components that come together because of this organic and community sensibility that we have. So, you know, you might have talked to Carl Kleanthes.
Yep. Okay. Carl's amazing.
Yeah. Colorful Carl.
Yes.
You know, he's like, let me, you know, spice up this place with some art next year. And it's like, great. Awesome. We'd love that.
Yeah.
You know, and different components. Last year, we had a great digital art display that was really cool. So, you know, we're always looking for new components. I think even bringing in different verticals, like this year, we bolted on this healthcare component at the beginning.
I actually found that really interesting. I was kind of surprised at some of the ways that, because you think of like blockchain and more of like accounting type things and that sort of like applications, but to look at it in like patient record keepings. And,
no, there's, I mean, because I always think of blockchain as data management.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a much better way of thinking of it.
Yeah. This is a new method for data management. But yeah, so we've got the healthcare component, even just more of that. I mean, you think about there's supply chain, there's financial services. So kind of taking it to broader industry perspective would be interesting.
Bigger and better.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to have to get a bigger venue next year.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I mean, we'll see. We'll do our debrief after this and you guys will be the first to know what's happening after that.
Well, good. You hear that? I think that's a verbal contract, right? Anything else you want to say before we wrap things up here?
No, I'm grateful for you being here. It's going to be great to hear the stories of everyone.
And there's been some amazing ones. I tried really hard to get Megan to spill some dirt on you, and she wouldn't budge. You got a really tight-knit group of friends.
So again, that's the best part. So, you know, Megan Spillane, who is the co-head of the digital asset practice at Goodwin Procter.
Yeah.
We grew up together in Quincy. And, you know, there are so many of my friends who we've wound up in this space together. And I always say everything comes back to Quincy anyway. So it's really cool to bring Megan back. She said her mother's coming later, who I know, of course. And like, that's a hoot. She's like, her mother doesn't know what she does. But you know. But I've got another buddy, Tom Hook, who is with MoonPay, and he's speaking today. I went to college with him. He's one of my best friends from college. We were roommates after college for a number of years. But all these personal and real world connections that have sort of confluenced here in blockchain space in the greater Boston area is pretty cool.
I love that. So Boston Blockchain, the website?
It's bostonblockchainweek.com. And then you can learn more about Cubic Labs at cubiclabs.com, QUBICLABS.com.
And then for the people who didn't get to see the speakers live, are those going to be going on YouTube?
They will. They'll go on the Boston Blockchain Week YouTube channel. And we usually have those up a couple of weeks after the program.
And we'll make sure that most of those are linked in the episode descriptions for the people when they did their presentations.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for your time,
Ian.
We'll let you get back to running the event.
Thank you so much.
The cover art for this podcast was custom designed for us by the amazing people at Epic Made. Epic Made is a digital art and animation studio that actually understands the magic behind powerful creative assets for gaming, entertainment, and tech. So visit epicmade.com to get expert creative help for campaigns, commercials, socials, and more. That's epic-made.com. DSpark is the leading user research platform for Web3. Companies can easily get feedback from any type of user, helping them build better products and improve their marketing. If you're interested in giving feedback, get paid USDC to share your opinions and improve Web3. Visit DSpark.io today. That's DSPARK.io. Bola allows you to create, tokenize, and finance invoices and manage all of your on-chain accounts. With TCS Blockchain, they recently went live with their groundbreaking solution that uses blockchain to settle freight invoices 90% cheaper and faster than traditional means. Thank you for helping make this show possible, Bola. Go to bolanetwork.com and tcsblockchain.com to learn more and join the waitlist. Numbers Protocol harnesses blockchain technology to enhance authenticity and traceability of digital content globally, with operational bases in London, LA, Dubai, and Taiwan. Recognized as the best in Web3 at the 2023 SXSW Awards and supported by Google and NVIDIA, Numbers Protocol offers the Capture, an all-in-one suite for content verification, copyright protection, and monetization. This technology has proven pivotal in projects like the archival of the 2020 U.S. presidential election and supports artists and businesses in ensuring the integrity and security of digital media. Jotto is a cutting-edge platform that amplifies the customer voice by making it simple for organizations to gather feedback through video, audio, and text. Using powerful AI, Jotto analyzes this feedback in real time to deliver actionable insights that help organizations understand their audience better. Whether it's governments, businesses, or events, Jotto enables a deeper connection by ensuring every voice is heard and valued. It's an essential tool for anyone looking to turn raw feedback into strategic actions and drive meaningful engagement. So once again, thank you to our sponsors for helping make the show possible, and thank you everybody for listening. The views and opinions expressed on this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the official policies or positions of any affiliated entities. The information shared in this podcast is for general informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial, legal, or professional advice. Always conduct your own research and consult with a qualified professional before making any decisions based on the content of this podcast. We appreciate your understanding and hope you enjoy the insights and expertise shared in today's episode.